I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
And welcome to the 10th episode of Battlecast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my co-hosts,
Sheru,
R Sigma.
And as always, we're here to bring you Puckle's Battlecast on the fourth Thursday of every month. We go over some kind of Pokemon tier, some kind of competitive format, and we talk about it for a little bit. And so this month, we are going to go ahead and discuss the Pokemon Draft League format, and specifically because there's like 30 different ways you can do Draft League. I feel like you can't go on YouTube and like search for Pokemon battles without finding a Draft League. So this is what we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss the Puckle version of that because Puckle hosts its own Draft League twice a year now, I guess, is what's going on. We just completed season one back in December, and season three, we didn't have a season two, guys. No, but season two is going to be starting up here in March, and we wanted to discuss Draft League and maybe get some of you guys interested. We're going to be having the applications up on the website. Hopefully by the end of the week, we'll see if time permits. And I really just want to talk to you guys about it and hang out and talk about Draft League because it's a good format. And I feel like if you want to learn to play some Pokemon, this is a great way to learn to play some Pokemon.
Really fun too. You get to use stuff that you don't normally use because of how draft works.
Yeah, exactly. It's the whole point is that you're making teams that are bad.
Essentially, yeah.
And
which is always fun.
There's no such thing as the perfect team, and I think that was stressed last season because somebody was complaining about their team like having holes in it sometimes, and I'm like, yeah, that's the point. You don't want a good draft because then it forces you to use, you know, Girder, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun in those respects. So the way the Puckle Draft League works is a little bit different than a couple other leagues. We based it off the NPA season, I think it was three, whatever it was last year. And we're maintaining that format going into this year. And so what happens is we have six different tiers. We have tiers one through five, and then a separate tier called an S tier, which includes a lot of heavy hitter Pokemon. If a Pokemon has a Mega, the Mega is in this tier. Some Ultra Beasts are in this tier, and a couple other things, such as Mew and Jirachi, are also in this S tier. And so the way this works is you build a 10-man roster based off of one Pokemon from each tier, so that's six. And then your other four, you're allotted 400 points to go ahead and draft the rest of them. Of those 400 points, You will lose 180 if you choose a tier 1. You'll lose 120 if you choose a tier 2. You'll lose 100 points if you choose a tier 3. You'll lose 60 points if you pick up a tier 4. And you'll lose 40 points if you pick up a tier 5. Now, S tier further is broken down into three separate tiers that will also mess with your points. So if you choose there's an S1, S2, and S3. If you choose an S2 Pokemon, that doesn't mess with your remaining free points. If you choose an S1 Pokemon, that will reduce your free points that you can use on those extra four slots by 100. And if you pick up an S3 Pokemon, you'll get an additional 40 points in your free points. So you can play with the tiers or like that, and it's definitely a good time to build teams and everything like that. You end up building a lot of imperfect teams, and you get to learn a lot about Pokemon and benchmarking that I think you would miss out on otherwise. So let's get into it. I think the best way to go into it, though, is to talk about what is it called? Drafting itself, right?
Yeah.
So when you draft these Pokemon, you need to go in with like a game plan of some sort. I know we're gonna have new people join the fray, and I think that it's gonna be a good time because I know I'm not playing this season, and so so my emotional investment is not quite there. I'm gonna have a lot of fun just watching everything unfold. So. Yeah, in terms of that, we're going to be playing a 12-week season. It's based on random numbers, essentially, when you play who and what teams you play. So it's a good time, though. You get your 10 Pokemon, and you want to try to pick things up. So I want to know how both of you would start drafting in particular. Because Sigma, you played last season, as did I. Shamu, you didn't, but you're going to play this season.
Yeah, and so I'm taking your spot, essentially.
Yeah, you're taking my spot, and so... with the Detroit Pyroars. Did you see the art for that, by the way?
Oh, I saw it. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting. I'm really excited to see that one. But yeah, so Sigma, talk about how you drafted.
Last time my first pick was like right in the middle.
Okay.
Pick number 16 out of 24. So I knew a lot of the really good stuff was gonna be picked by then.
Mm-hmm.
So what'd
you go for?
What I was looking at. I ended up picking Latios.
That's not terrible at all.
Oh, no, it's actually pretty good. I was really happy to see it still there. It had defog options, so mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry as much about finding something like that later for hazard control.
I honestly think that you hit on a really good point there, just because I think that is something that so many people forgot about last season. Like, you need to have hazard control. It is so important. Please pick up somebody that can spin or defog. Because if you end up going in there without any kind of control for that, you're gonna lose to somebody who's got all the hazards.
Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon really helped that out because defog move tutor.
Right, yeah. No, that's definitely helpful. I mean, Rotom Wash got it.
All the Rotoms got it.
Well, yeah, all the Rotoms got it. So I mean, but Rotom Wash particularly.
Yeah. That thing's gonna be a very good pick this time.
I think so. I agree with you. It's going to be really good. We moved that one up, I think.
Yeah.
Just because it gets so much now. It can do everything. It's a Rotom.
But yeah. And Latios hit really hard, so I like that part of it too.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah, I think I went round one. I was pick five or something like that. I don't remember. And
yeah, it's a lot easier to have picks ready for pick five.
Yes. Yeah, no, I was just like, Excadrill right out the gate. the most disappointing pick I think I've ever made, in honesty. Like, at the end of the season, I'm like, man, I could probably drop Excadrill.
Yeah, we were debating that multiple times.
Like, yeah, we were debating. This? Yeah, because we weren't using it well. It didn't synergize it with everything.
No, it was literally just like, here, we lead with it. We set up rocks. We hit something hard. Okay. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, we just didn't have the support for it. It was a decent mod,
but didn't really.
Well, even then, honestly, I'm a big Mega T-Tar fan. I think Mega T-Tar is an underutilized mon, and I think you could definitely get away with some shenanigans with Mega T-Tar on its own. I don't think you need it for, like, Sand Rush and stuff like that.
No. It was nice to have in the back pocket, though, because we did kind of, like, think, okay, worst case, we throw in, we have Sand Rush on it in case we need to outspeed this.
Yep, exactly. It definitely helped. I mean, you get access to Mold Breaker, so you beat Rotom pretty easy, but on top of that, there's just... I don't know. I didn't feel like Excadrill was a strong pick round one, at least for our playstyle.
Yeah, no, we shouldn't have picked it round one. We should have waited for a bit, and then if it was still available, then grabbed it.
Yeah, the other disappointing pick that I think we had was Gardevoir.
Oh, yeah. It was like, I think only one match we had where it was actually like usable, and even then it didn't really...
It didn't do anything.
We ended up needing it.
Yeah, it didn't
like,
do anything.
Something else just got rid of it.
Yep.
So it was kind of like, oh, whoops.
Yeah, that one was pretty bad. That was a bad pick.
So what was that? That tier 3?
That's tier 3 mon, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other stuff here. We probably could have grabbed
over. Well, we were trying to grab a fairy, and there weren't too many fairies in the pool, honestly.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of fairies, and I think that was a big issue with the way that the tiers were set up last time, and we've tried to remedy that issue this year, because you had a lot of dragons like in lower tiers, and so a lot of dragons got moved up, and a lot of fairies got moved down to kind of remedy that issue and try to balance that a little bit better so that you can't just have like a runaway dragon type.
Yeah.
Because that was a huge thing last time. And we'll
go back to Gen 5.
Yeah, it was honestly back to Gen 5 because a lot of the fairies that were introduced in Gen 7 were really good fairies. And so they're all bumped up. Like, I'm talking about the Tapus, right? And they're all in the S tier. And if you didn't grab one of those four, and now it's, I think, down to three, you're just not going to be able to use it. Like, you're not going to have a fairy type. And you need to balance the dragons to really accomplish that. But what else did you pick, Sigma? What else did you pick?
Well, my second pick was an Alolan Ninetales, because that thing is kind of dumb.
Yeah, no. I really like it in Draft League. I really do. Yeah.
Being able to set up your screen or double screens with like no work put into it, as well as having a high speed stat, which just lets you get to put up those screens.
It's really nice. I agree with that. Just I ran that in like the beta when we were deciding whether or not to actually do a Draft League. I grabbed Ninetales. I thought Ninetales is a solid pick, though. Ninetales is pretty good. You can get a lot of stuff set up for that, and it's overall a good time.
It's a good enabler. Really,
yeah, it really is. It lets you set up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it's like now your team is better.
Yeah, It's really nice. It is really nice to set up the Aura Veil. Even the hail is nice sometimes. Mm-hmm. You could be really cheeky and get that Alolan Sandslash too.
Yeah, I picked that up last round because I knew nobody else cared about it.
You could have picked up Beartick. Did you pick up Beartick?
I did, and it was pretty bad.
Yeah, Beartick is really bad. It's
like, you don't have Earthquake. You should really have Earthquake. Because for some reason, Gen 5 Pokemon didn't get Earthquake. So, like, well, you don't really do anything, Beartick.
I think one of the better things that we did when we were playing... one of the better things we did when we were drafting, I think one of the things that is underutilized in draft format that probably shines the most are the not fully evolved Pokemon, because these are not things that you would think about when you're going ahead and playing these games, just because like when you play OU, you're never going to use a not fully evolved Pokemon, maybe the occasional Chansey in VGC, right? And Cliffa, or not Cliffa, Clefairy, right? You'll see some people run Clefairy for redirection, and that's interesting, right? But in OU you don't see that. In singles you typically don't see anything like this. And I think a big player for this is like we picked up three of them on our roster last season, and we made it to top four, by the way. So it doesn't mean we did anything shabby. We picked up Girder, which I think is a solid pick. It got moved up just because I think Girder is essentially mini Conk, and it does a good amount of work as mini Conk.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go ahead, and we also picked up, and this is the tier 4 pickup I think that should have been made every single day, is Golbat. Like Golbat, Eviolite Golbat, is probably one of my favorite Pokemon in Draft League.
It's really versatile, to be honest. It's like, for what it does, you can have it be offensive, you can have it be completely defensive, it's bulky anyways, it's
Well, I think it's defense and special defense are equal. And yeah. So, like, you can flip those around. And the poison flying typing isn't terrible in that format. Like, it's not a terrible typing. You're weak to, like, I think electric, and that's about it. And psychic. Electric, rock, and psychic,
yeah.
But you're typically pretty bulky and you can take things, because Golbat won a couple of matches for me. It definitely took some hits that it shouldn't have been able to. I think the biggest one is I played Hydra twice, and both times it came down to like Golbat v Infernape. And
I think it destroyed it with Brave Bird.
Yeah, well, so Brave Bird, first of all, Golbat's attack stat is large enough to make some significant KOs. The other thing is, yeah, you can Brave Bird the Infernape pretty hard. And even Thunder Punch on Infernape, like max attack Jolly Infernape, I think does something like it does like 25% to Golbat, 25 or 35%. It's nothing, it's crazy. So I would definitely like just like if you have the chance, pick up Golbat before it's gone. I'm not saying pick up Golbat round one, but if you're looking at tier fours, I think Golbat's a solid pick. We also picked Magneton, which I don't think
Magneton's nice.
It didn't do a lot for us this season, but it definitely, in the matches it was useful in, it was useful.
Yeah, because it's almost in the same vein. It's more of a mini Magnezone, but you can run a Scarf and actually faster.
It's not even mini Magnezone. It's faster Magnezone.
Yeah, it's smaller Magnezone, so it's faster. So there
yeah,
you
go. It honestly is, because it's got like 10 more base speed. And
yeah, it's like 20 less base defense or something like that and less special attack.
Yeah, that's about it, though.
Yeah, other than that, like, and you run Eviolite, you make up for that.
Oh, more than, and you can definitely get away. I think it has its merits to just go ahead and use Choice Scarf on it, too, if you want.
Oh, yeah. You do Choice Scarf to outspeed other things, too, because I think it hits, like, 390, something like that, or 4.
It's a base 70 speed, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't know the exact speed number.
It's only 10 points lower in special attack. Dude.
Yeah,
so
it's not terrible at all. Like, I would suggest that. Like, you have to look at some of these Pokemon. Probably not, like, the newer, not fully evolved Pokemon, but the Pokemon that gained evolutions.
Yeah.
I'd say are probably the gems in the rough. Like, you've got Golbat, you've got Girder. Well, maybe not Girder so much, but I thought Girder was a decent Pokemon. But then you have Magneton. I think Piloswine would have been something to look out for, personally.
I picked up Piloswine.
Did you?
Towards the end, I found Piloswine wasn't actually on a team, and it's like, well, you're going to do more than a Beartick does.
Yeah.
And it's true, because that thing...
Oh, yeah.
That thing is beautiful.
I mean...
So Magneton was a Scarf. Sorry. Magneton was a Scarf for 360 at max, and
yeah.
Then Magneton is 390, like 2 or 3.
390 is actually a speed tier to hit.
Yeah.
It's just lower than Coco. For reference. Yeah. And at level 50, it probably just about matches.
What is Coco's max speed?
394? It's probably 1 point higher.
It's 1 point higher.
It's probably 1 point higher at level 50. So
level 50? Maybe.
Yeah, it's probably just about 1 point higher. So that's really interesting in and of its own right. But I did want to talk about... we're talking about these lower tier Pokemon. And... those are the gems, right? Because you have to stack your team with those, regardless of who you are. You have to stack your team with those. So definitely...
Yeah, you're going to end up with, like, 3, maybe 4 tier 4, tier 5 Pokemon that you need to fill your roster out with.
Definitely remember that when you're building. Also, read the rules before you draft if you are drafting. that way we don't have hiccups when we draft this time. That would be appreciated. Because last time we had a lot of people trying to make a bunch of illegal moves, and it didn't go over too well.
By the way, actually, level 50, Magneton with Scarf outspeeds.
Magneton, really interesting, awesome.
By 1 point.
That's interesting. Okay. This leads into another conversation topic about Draft League. And one of the advantages, this is honestly the reason that I started doing Draft League, is because of benchmarking.
Mm-hmm.
Benchmarking is a really useful skill if you want to play in VGC, sometimes in OU. I wouldn't say in OU so much, because in OU you can get away with like 252-252 spreads, but sometimes it's just like, oh, I want you to live this specific thing, and then you can dump the rest of it in whatever else you want. And benchmarking is a huge thing in Piddle, or not in Piddle, I shouldn't say Piddle, I should say Draft League in general, because every week you get to build a new team. And you're allowed to change up what sets your mons are running and stuff like that. And I think the big thing is speed tiers, first of all, because you can look at your opponent's roster and you can try to find out what their fastest thing is and what you're trying to outspeed with each Pokemon. And you can put in the minimum amount of speed investment you'll absolutely need for that, which is really nice, because then you could just put more bulk in. You'll survive a lot of hits that you wouldn't otherwise. On top of that, you might be like, well, let's say that your opponent has like Salamence on their team, right? And Salamence could be choice specs, and it could Draco you to death. And so that is something you want to watch out for, obviously. And so you'd go ahead, you'd find probably one of your bulkiest mons, and you'd be like, okay, how much investment do you need to take a Draco? And then how much can I put in special attack so I can hidden power ice you to death? So that's another thing to watch out for. And I think it's just a useful skill in general.
Yeah, because I had... Mega Sceptile on my team, and
yes.
I can tell you how many times I ran it with a speed major.
Yeah, right? it
wasn't often.
Yeah, you don't need it sometimes, and that's the best thing.
No, it's
because
at 145 speed,
you get extra damage output. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think benchmarking is just—it's such a useful skill to learn. And so I would say, even if you're not interested in fully like doing the draft league, I would say go ahead and do draft league so you can learn it and transfer these skills over to other formats. It definitely helped me out, like with my VGC skills and building spreads for VGC. It just got me more used to the idea of like, okay, what's a threat in this meta? Let me see how I can beat that. And I think more people should definitely look into that. And it's definitely a skill that I think would like take people to the next level in terms of Pokemon skill. Overall, though, I don't know. Is there anything else that you think is notable about Draft League that we should talk about?
I guess more or less also like counter teaming in a way, because that's what this format really is. It's like you have a team, and then you see your opponent's team, and you try to make your team essentially just counter theirs completely.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. Like, we'll run like the one like we run Ground DMZ Celebi to deal with a Mawile.
Yeah, and it happened.
That was literally the only the only reason we ran it was to like destroy the Mawile, and it worked.
Man,
like, you'll be running a lot of odd things here and there just to deal with a certain Pokemon that's a threat to you.
And
I was a victim to a Thunder Ferrothorn.
I remember that match.
That was a good match.
So I would like to point out, though, I'll let you go, Sigma, in a minute. But I'd like to point out, do not think that this cheese will work every week if your cheese works once, because it is it is going to be known about, and it will also if it works for one team, it might not work for another, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's one thing too. It's, I know. Oh, sorry, you go. You already.
Like 1 week, I brought Z Splash Kingdra.
Yes, I remember that.
And I do believe that caught Gio off guard.
Yes, it was hilarious. I remember that match.
Sadly, I forgot to make sure that Substitute was on it because he had a Suicune and a Bisharp.
Yep.
But that was still a fun match, and I don't think he saw that coming.
No, he didn't.
And multiple times did I run the Dragon Dance Latios.
Yes.
That's such a fun thing. Like,
because everyone expects the Draco Meteor, and it's like, no, I'm just going to Dragon Dance on you this turn, and then have a fun time with that Zen Headbutt next turn.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know one thing, though, with your battles are always available the next week after.
Mm-hmm.
It's one, like, you know, some people last time, some people didn't make multiple sets. Mm-hmm. I'd recommend just try to get as many of this Pokemon as you can.
Yes.
Or like as many as you think you'll need, because if you don't, your sets will be known and you will be countered hard.
Yes, real hard. I can tell you one team in particular that didn't do it. And yes.
Because like they'll learn your spread. After time, like they'll learn speed things. It's one thing to keep in mind, like keep an eye out, like, oh, this Coco without sped by a Raichu for some reason, or
yes,
like
this is
random.
This
like,
is unlike just, this is unlike the UUTC where everything's kept hidden. In this league, all of the battles are known about as they happen, and so people will watch your battle videos so they can prep against you. People will watch, will pay attention to your spreads. Will pay attention to how much HP your Pokemon have while they're watching those battle videos.
Because HP is actually just a given number, essentially, because you can like just switch from what side you're on and just switch from what perspective and see what the number is.
Exactly. And so you're given an HP investment.
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing. You can find out HP investment, and typically you can find out if people are running the same spread. Like if it's typically a bulkier Mon, right? And they can see that you're running the same like 37 EVs or whatever, or not 37, that's a terrible example. Like the same like 36 EVs in HP. It's probably the same Pokemon every week, right? And
So it's not going to be different. And if you can tell that somehow, then
exactly.
There's also a little trick with the DSs when you view a battle video, you're able to battle it yourself. If
exactly.
You really want to go in that far in depth.
Yeah, and you can figure out the calcs yourself. Yeah, I did not prep that hard. I will tell you that.
No,
much.
I didn't either. That is something that you have to be concerned about.
Yeah, you just have to remember that, and you have to keep your opponents on their toes. That's the big thing. And I mean, most importantly, have fun, but that's what Draft League's all about. Having good times and good feels. You just got to have a blast with it, but it's a different format, and it's a lot more fun. I know I turned Gio off of like doing any other kind of Pokemon battles because I introduced him to Draft League. Because what happened was we were doing the beta and I was just looking for like people to do it. And I'm just like, hey, you want to do this Draft League format with me? And he's just like, and like I had to convince him to do it. And he's just like, okay, fine. And now it's like his favorite thing. He legitimately told me, he's just like, I have no fun playing OU anymore because of Draft League. Because Draft League allows you to just, you can play way more fun stuff. It's more of a problem solving set, I think, than playing OU, especially now. Like, I can't play for realsies OU, not because I don't think I'd be good at it, but because I don't find it fun, because you end up with the same like 20 mons at the top, right? Mm-hmm. And when you start laddering and you get there, it's just boring and I don't have the fun with it. Like I would with like a Mega Sceptile or something.
But in Draft League, you only see Landorus maybe one time.
Yeah, you'll see it one time the whole season.
If you're unfortunate.
Yeah, maybe you'll see it. So just keep that in mind. And it, like I said, it's a good time all around. Though it is absolutely a good time. I think Draft League is worth every moment of play. And if you want to get involved in Draft League, we'll have that, like I said, we'll have that application up hopefully by the end of this week. And you can go ahead and apply and we'll make our decisions before the 11th, which I think is the tentative draft date for season 2. I don't know for certain. The 11th?
11th, okay.
The 11th. We typically do a Sunday because it's just when everybody's available, more or less. And it's a 4-hour event. Though I don't think we're going to be as lenient this time, and it's going to be based on you paying attention to when you get pinged when it's your turn, and then you have a minute after you get pinged, essentially. And that, if just because last time we rotted overslept entirely, and so like we're sitting there like waiting a minute when we know he's not going to show up, and so. We were unfortunate in that we missed Rotted, and it was just like a lot of time was spent just waiting. So hopefully we can reduce the wait time and just get things rolling. We'll see though, because it's probably going to be Sunday again, just because the Sundays are easier on us typically, and it is like a full crew to do a draft. It is absolutely ridiculous the amount of stuff we're doing. I'm super happy that I don't have to draft at the same time as running the draft. So
yeah,
I'm just going to be watching the draft and like working on some technical stuff at the same time. So that's definitely something to consider. So I think that's a good place to stop. We'll take a short break here, guys, and we're going to come back at you with a team of the episode. So we'll catch you on the flip flop.
Hey, Scrawn, are you thirsty?
Yeah, actually, I would
that's
like to.
That's great. Drink this.
What is it?
It's Corsola Cola. Corsola Cola is Pokemon fresh. Thousands of Corsola are tossed into vats to create a bubbly, delicious drink. We never see them again. Corsola Cola, it doesn't make your gums bleed.
And welcome to the team of the episode. This week, we're just going to break down the winning team of last season's our Puckle Draft League. We're going to go ahead and break down the Lone Rangers team. So he brought in Mega Gyarados, Clefable, Gengar, Bronzong, Zapdos, Tangela, Emboar, Nidoking, Escavalier, and Cryogonal. So this is 10 mons, obviously, as we discussed earlier. But I kind of want to break down each of them and just talk about how they were played well and stuff like that. I played him twice over the season, and I really want to talk about things he did really well and things that people should think about in terms of playing in Draft League, because his roster is actually pretty solid.
Yes.
Yeah, so just first of all, Mega Gyarados, I think, is a pretty solid pick, because it gets Intimidate, first of all, just regular Gyarados, and so you can cycle that in and out, which I expected him to do, because he's a VGC player.
Also, you don't get to cheese Moxie in our format, because you have to immediately Mega Evolve.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Like, there's not a choice in that. You're bringing the Intimidate version.
Exactly. And against in the semifinals match that he and I played against each other, he played that Gyarados really well, because my count of the Gyarados was Girder, because Girder can actually Oko Mega Gyarados, fun fact. And and what happened there was we were doing that, and so what he did is he used Torment so that I couldn't double up on moves, and he was running Protect and Torment. And so,
yeah,
and so
that
it,
was
it,
such a...
it literally comes down to mind games, which that was played incredibly well. That's just, I bravo to him. I'm not even mad.
Yeah, that's like, an incredible strategy to come up with. So
yeah, no, like I'm not even mad. I can't be mad about that. I think what really solidified his team though was his tier ones picks, both in Cliff Fable and in Zapdos.
I really personally going for the S2 strategy in drafting, where you can get two extra or an extra T1 pick and an extra T2 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Because having those extra T1 and T2 picks really strengthen out the team.
Having two tier ones, I think, is incredibly solid. It's definitely something, and it's something that people need to watch out for, because especially if you try to wait too late, those tier ones are going to go away. Like by round five, you should pick your tier ones.
Yeah.
I think you absolutely should, because if you don't pick your tier ones by round five, what you want is gone. Hip out on's left. Come on. And so, but yeah, he picked up Clefable and Zapdos. Both of these are incredibly defensive Pokemon, both defensive in their own ways, because Zapdos is typically a defensive mon, but it can be specially defensive as well. And Clefable is more specially inclined. So like it works out. It's a nice balance. It's a good core.
Yeah, Clefable can get up rocks, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And it can just set up. Its abilities are good because it has Magic Guard as well as Unaware.
Yeah.
For those where you're against someone who's going to set up against you. And it's like, nah, I'm Unaware. I've got an Unaware Clef. So
dude, I love Unaware. Unaware is my jam, man. That's where it's at. Now, Gengar is pretty solid. Is another Pokemon he picked up, and that's, it is really solid. I think it's like, oh my gosh, base 110 speed, right? And then that speed combined with a base 130 attack is just nutsos. I think the fine threshold I found in Draft League is like 91 speed. Like that's what you want, 91. Yeah. Like 91's a good spot. It's a nice average. And if you have 91, you're going to be able to play. You're going to have a lot of extra room for other EV investment. But like 110, like you can just do whatever you want. Like you can do whatever you want. He showed me some of his sets that he brought for Rodden's team, because he was playing the rain team. And so Mega Swampert goes pretty fast, right, in rain. And so what he did was he took that Gengar and he Choice Scarfed it. And he benchmarked Choice Scarf Gengar to outspeed Swampert in the rain. And that was solid. That was solid, because you could just click Energy Ball then. You could drain an Energy Ball, I think, for Gengar.
Yeah, so. Gengar is one of those Gen 1 Pokemon that get insane coverage, along just, with...
Yeah, Nidoking, yeah, right? The other
along
tier
with Nidoking, yeah.
Yeah, the other tier 2.
Which also gets to be the choice of a physical or special attacker, depending on how you want to go that week. So
Andy gets Sheer Force.
Yeah.
So like
you're not running Poison Point.
You could run Poison Point depending on how lucky you feel.
But then you don't even get the toxic poison, so it's a little more awkward.
Yeah, after this is kind of where his luck starts to run out in terms of choices. Though like, I would like tier 3 Embor. Like okay, it's Embor.
I was going to say you don't get there aren't that many fire Pokemon in the game. So
yeah. And like you picked up Embor.
Yeah, picked up Embor. That's not the worst.
Yeah, you picked up Embor. It's not the worst. Darmanitan was there in that tier, so I picked that up initially and then dropped it for Arcanine. But yeah, Embor is. I mean, it's a decent Pokemon, and this is kind of like the. This is where we get with Draft League. Like you get these. We just named like five amazing Pokemon on this team, but then you can never get a good sixth one to kind of fill it in.
No,
which is
you're usually
going to
rotate something in there.
Yeah, you at least have one slot that you rotate, if not multiple. And here, I think with Embor, it's a solid Pokemon. But then he also had Bronzong. Bronzong was actually pretty solid.
I was going to say, in a draft league format, you can actually play around with its abilities, and you don't have
Bronzong
to use levitate all the time.
Like Bronzong is just a good generic. Like if you have like slower Pokemon and they are more important for your team, you can just literally do Trick Room Bronzong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, Trick Room was a strategy we saw a lot this past year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that goes with his other tier 4 pick, too, because it's an Escavalier.
Yeah, well, I think he picked that because that was his team name. He picked Escavalier because he's the Cleveland Escavaliers. And I think because that was his round 9 pick. I think round 9 is just like,
yeah. I mean, you're not having choices at that point. So.
Yeah, I have no choices. So I'm going to pick Escavalier. And then he picks Cryogonal round 10 because he's just like, yeah, rapid spin.
Well, I need a tier 5, so
yeah. tier 5, I guess I'll pick Rapid Spin.
And that thing in, Cragunel, that thing in, that's Kevin Lear. In Trick Room, that thing is just scary.
Oh, no, yeah, in Trick Room.
It's got, like, 105 speed.
That was on one of my original Trick Room teams.
No, we're talking about Escavalier, I think. Escavalier.
Escavalier, yeah.
Yeah, Cragunel's fast.
When I would make my first, like, Trick Room team, like, that thing is insane. Swords Dance, you're killing anything.
Oh, yeah. Base 135 attack. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're a bug steel. You have weakness to fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other pick I find really interesting is Tangela, because Tangela is that nice, like, hey, I'm a Tangrowth, but not.
Yeah, it's like, I'm a pivot for ground attacks.
Yeah, it's really that whole thing. It's actually pretty scary sometimes, honestly.
I mean,
it still has base 100 special attack. Like, that's still pretty scary. But
it can sleep powder. Mm-hmm. That's an option for it, which is scary in its own right. So
it's just like we were talking about earlier with, like, the Ephiolite mons. Like, that's definitely something to keep in mind. Like, when you get to these lower tiers, there's a lot of not fully evolved Pokemon. Like, keep that in mind. Keep it in mind that you can pick up a not fully evolved Pokemon and just kind of throw it in a spot.
Yeah.
And it can fill up some kind of role. I guarantee it.
Yeah, somebody else took Pharaoh Seed.
Sublime. Sublime took Pharaoh Seed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm even looking now, like, Murkrow, the good generic, like, utility mon.
Right.
Like, you got Dark Flying, that's some decent resistances there.
I think we were talking about picking that up. Like, I thought about it initially,
at one point, yeah. We were, like, trying to figure out, like, Murkrow might be good, because you get, like, Ruth Tailwind, you can get some weird other...
Well, you get Prankster.
...quirky moves.
You get Prankster.
Yeah, too, yeah. So you get all these things at priority, like, if you want to throw Confuse Ray or Thunder Wave, I think you get that, too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. There you go, you got this utility mon that can just... throw statuses everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It is really good.
Had haze. That was the other thing we were looking at, because haze is incredible. Like, priority haze? Oh, my. Like,
mm-hmm. Just being able to reset stats, because you do get a lot of setup in Draft League. I think more so than you would see anywhere else. And it's definitely something to consider. Like, haze is a fantastic option. Clear Smog is a good option. Anything that will help you reset stats, fantastic option. You could probably get some... I think there's some Z-moves that will do that, too, so... definitely something. I don't. Maybe not. I'm wrong. Probably.
It's more or less the user.
It's resetting your stats, not their stats.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I definitely also watch out when you're picking Z moves for your team. By the way, this is something we didn't cover earlier, because a lot of Z moves are banned. Z
mostly
moves,
status Z moves.
Yeah, but... status Z moves. Any Z move that will go ahead and that will restore your health. So actually, let me pull up the list. I have the list, so people don't get scared and, like, yell at me if that they're not on the rules. The rules had a formatting issue because we, like, uploaded PDFs, and so there was a weird space, but it was still there. All right, so the Z moves that are banned: Z Aromatherapy, Z Celebrate, Z Conversion, both 1 and 2, Z Curse, the Ghost type Curse, Eevee and MZ. Forest Curse, Geomancy, Haze, Heal Bell, Hold Hands, Mist, Psych Up, Muse Z move, because that's stupid. It's half the reason we banned Lele. Purify, Refresh, Spite, Stockpile, Teleport, Transform, and Trick or Treat. So remember that. Remember those. Because all of these are healing Z moves, so pretty much when you use them, you get, like, a new round of health. They're either that or they are an Omni Boost. Or their Mutium Z, where they set up Psychic Terrain, which is broken as heck in this format.
Yeah, especially when there's only one Mew.
Yeah, when there's one Mew and there's one Tapu Lele or something like that, it's just such a broken. Yeah. It's such a broken terrain because, especially with Tapu Lele. If you think about Tapu Lele,
yeah.
You have base 95. You have base 95 speed. How do you outrun Scarf Tapu Lele? Well, you think about priority, right? And the thing is, you can't use priority, and that's a really it creates a team building problem, which I don't like. It makes Lele an instant win button.
Yeah, and most teams don't have access to another Tapu because there's only 3 more of them. So
yeah, well, there was only 4 of them at that point, but now there's only 3, right?
Yeah,
and I guess you could run Grassy Terrain on your Venusaur.
Without you gotta think that one turn to do it, you're getting hit by a psychic.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just not worth it.
130 base special attack with the psychic like psychic terrain boost.
Yep.
Yeah,
you're dying. You're dying.
That yeah. No, it's already a nuke. You don't need it to make it even more broken.
Exactly. You're dying. And so we got the psychic terrain, I think, is probably one of the most broken terrains.
Yes.
The good news is you'll be better at all Pokemon after you play this, though. So
yeah,
you'll be better.
Even then, like the one counter with Magearna, and now we had to get rid of that too.
Yeah, we got rid of Magearna. That was also broken. Well, the thing is, you can't just have one counter in Draft League, right? This is OU.
Yeah.
If you only have one counter in Draft League, that means that you should be banned, because if there's only one counter to it, you can't do anything. That's why Lando is still tier one. And this is we talk about Lando. This wouldn't be a battle cast if we didn't talk about Lando. And we complain about Lando all the time. But the thing about Lando is it's manageable. My argument isn't that Lando is overpowered or too good or anything. My argument is typically that it's over centralizing, which we
and
have banned. We have banned things for being over centralizing before. But Lando's tier one, and it will remain so in Draft League until it gets banned for over-centralization or something. And we will, because you can run a ton of things and knock out Lando.
Honestly, like, Cryogonal beats it.
Yeah, Cryogonal will beat it, exactly. And so you can there's plenty of stuff in the pool that will beat Lando. And so that's why it's not as big of a threat as something like Magearna, where it's just like, oh, you only have one counter. And the answer is, well, I can't. That doesn't matter because I can't play you then, right?
Like, yeah, and even then, it's also the fact too. You were saying earlier the counter thing. You see the Lando on the team roster, you know.
Yeah,
I need to bring something to prepare for this Lando.
The thing should be that there shouldn't be a scenario in which you draft and you say, "I can't beat this person." Like they have a win condition right now. Like that can happen to one or two teams, and that could be a very situational thing. Like in terms of like a matchup, right? Like, I think a good explanation of this is Cloud9 versus Geo. They did that first round matchup, and Cloud9 has a very significant advantage over Geo because Geo didn't have a good answer for Choice Scarf Kyurem. There was no good answer. It was literally lose two Pokemon and take it down, and then try to recoup afterwards. And that's what happened. He ended up recouping afterwards. But that's a huge thing, though. You have to recoup and do things like that, and it's just insane. But like if you come up to Lele, it's just like, well, there's nothing I can do. And if that happens to every single team that it plays, that's not good.
No, it's not a healthy metagame.
Exactly. And that's the struggle, really, because this is just us like delving into our own tiering. And that's the scary part, because it helps me realize that the people who do with the tiering for OU and other things are essentially just winging it as well. So
yeah.
I don't feel as bad when I like play Smogon and stuff like that, because those people are human.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what I wanted to get out, though. I don't think there's anything else I wanted to say. There's a lot of Draft League shenanigans.
Yeah.
And I think I would leave you guys with the fact that I would say go play Draft League. It's a lot of fun. If you have the opportunity, definitely fill out that application when it's up. It'll probably be announced first on the Discord server. So if you're not already there, check out our Discord. The link is in the description. It'll also be on our social medias, such as our Twitter, Facebook, and what's that other thing? Reddit. So definitely check that out. You can find links to all of those on our website, PucklePodcast.com. And of course, if you want to email the show with a team that you want us to go through and talk about, well, you can go do that at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. We will more than likely read it. And then, of course, if you want to help out the show in any way, help out the network in any way, you could go to patreon.com/pucklepodcast, where you can help out the show and do crazy things. And if you want to get in on the Draft League hype, and maybe you don't want to play, but you want to follow a team, you can head on over to TeePublic. And head over to the Puckle Store, where we're going to have logos for all of the teams this season and probably some of the teams last season as well. So definitely check that out. There's actually a sale going on right now. So if you want to pick up some stuff at a discount, go check out TeePublic before the 25th of February. So I guess that's going to be it for this week. So I am Trainer Thatch.
I'm Shamu.
I'm R Sigma.
And here in the Alola Battle Royale Dome, it's closing time. Time. Farewell, my friends.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.